1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 41, reading down to the end of the chapter. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And we know that the Lord will bless to all of our hearts tonight this reading of his precious and infallible word. Now, we've been considering over the last couple of nights of our week of prayer a very simple theme that we've entitled Sounds from Heaven. And on Monday night, we thought about the sound of a sovereign speaking, and we thought about that voice that John heard on the Isle of Patmos whenever the Lord opened that veil that would take him into heaven itself and give him visions of the Lord. And he heard the voice of the Lord and described it as being like unto the sound of many waters. And then last night we thought about the great day of Pentecost whenever the disciples were met together in the upper room and they were seeking the Lord. They were stricken with a great sense of need for God to come and to anoint them and to help them as they fulfilled the great commission. And so they were praying that the Lord would pour out his spirit. And suddenly as they were gathered together with one accord in one place praying, there was the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And we're going to consider another sound tonight that we read off in Scripture, another sound from heaven, and it's that sound of abundance of rain. We know that the rain comes from the heavens, and there's a wonderful picture here of that greater rain, the rain of God's blessing, the showers of blessing that Ezekiel spoke of. Sounds from heaven, the sound of abundance of rain. This is a monumental chapter within the pages of Old Testament story and history. The fire fell, then the people fell, and then the rain fell. And that's what we long for in these days, that the fire of God might fall, and then the people might fall. And we know that if people fall to their knees and humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek God's face, then the rain will fall and God will send a great blessing. Just a few simple things we want to consider before we seek the Lord together concerning this phrase in verse 41. There's a sound of abundance of rain. We want to consider something of the prelude to that statement. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, he's just thrust onto the scene, thrust onto the public stage, thrust into the public arena. He came from a little place called Tishbe, which was a backwater village, not so well known, and he spent the first part of his life in obscurity. But the Bible says that even spiders are found in kings' palaces. And here we have Elijah the Tishbite, who was off the inhabitants of Gilead. And the Lord somehow, we're not told how, but the Lord brings him in before the wicked and evil King Ahab, that has brought a nation into degeneration and brought a nation into sin and into idolatry along with his wife Jezebel. And somehow, we're not told how, but this obscure, fiery preacher finds himself face to face with Ahab, and he says to Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. And if we're going to stand before kings, we'll need to kneel before the Lord. and stand in God's presence. And that's what Elijah has been doing. And he says, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. It was said of Jacob that after he wrestled with the Lord, that the Lord changed his name to Israel and said, from now on you'll have power with God and with men. And Elijah could testify to that same thing. Here was a man who has spent years in obscurity, in the secret place, standing in God's presence, seeking God's face, and he's got power with God, and he's also got influence with men. And he gives the word to the king that there shall not be dew nor rain for several years, but according to his word. So there's going to be days of barrenness, days of famine in the nation of Israel. And we are living in days where there's a great dearth in our land. The land is dry. Our land is dry. Our service for God has been barren and dry. And we're living in days of famine. Ezekiel spoke about a famine that would come. Not a thirst for bread, or a hunger for bread, or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. So that's the prelude. Elijah coming before King Ahab, speaking of this shutting up of the windows of heaven. No dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then entering into chapter 18, we have the great showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And I believe that chapter 18, the first part of the chapter, speaks of propitiation, a sacrifice that was offered upon an altar, blood was shed. And of course, it was a wonderful picture of Calvary. Whenever the Lord Jesus offered up his life as a sacrifice for sin, he goes before King Ahab once again in chapter number 18 of 1 Kings. And he enters in there, and there's this great showdown between Elijah, the great prophet of God, the true prophet of the Lord, and all of these hundreds of false prophets. And in chapter 18, verse 21, he throws out a challenge to the people. Those that were standing by, watching what was about to take place, many of them Israelites, many of them professing to follow the Lord, many of them knowing the history of their nation. And yet there's been the worship of Baal in Israel. And Elijah challenges the people and says to them, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord, if Jehovah be God, follow him. But if not, if you don't believe that, if you believe that Baal's God, then follow him. But he's telling them literally here, you can't straddle the fence. You can't serve God and Mammon. You can't serve Jehovah and Baal. And he throws out this challenge. And whenever these people that knew the truth heard that challenge, it says they answered him. The people answered him not a word. They had nothing to say. They'd no comeback. They knew that Elijah was right. They knew that if Jehovah is the true God, they have to follow him wholeheartedly. It's all or nothing religion in the eyes of the Lord. He gives a challenge to the people. And then in verse 22, he gives a challenge to the prophets or the priests of Baal. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, one for them, one for me. And let's divide these bullocks, and let them put their bullock upon the altar, and let them do whatever they do. Let them pray, let them call upon Baal. And the God that answers from heaven by fire, that is the true God. And he throws out this challenge to the priests. And you know the rest of the story, that the prophets of Baal, they spent the rest of the morning and the afternoon calling upon their God and crying unto their God, and they began to get very frustrated. They began to roar and shout and scream and cut themselves with stones. And you see Elijah standing on the sidelines watching it all going on, and he throws out a few challenges to them and says, well, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's otherwise engaged. Maybe he's too busy to answer your prayers. And then Elijah, we are told in verse number 31, he took 12 stones, one stone for each of the tribes of Israel. And so we see a prophet here, and he's repairing a broken down altar. It says in verse 32, with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And I believe that before blessing comes, there needs to be a rebuilding of altars in our lives. The altar is a place of sacrifice. And there needs to be the rebuilding of the family altar and the personal altar before the Lord will come with great blessing to a particular people. And not only that, but he dug a trench around the altar, and they began to cut the wood and put it in place, and then they cut the bullock in pieces and they laid it upon the wood. And then he said, fill 4 barrels with water, do it again the second time, do it again the third time. So 12 barrels of water have been poured over this sacrifice. He's not making it easy for the Lord, so to speak. He doesn't need to give God a helping hand. He doesn't need to try and manipulate things and lever things. You know, if that was the modern church today, instead of pouring water over it, we'd be pouring petrol over it, trying to make it easy for God to do the miraculous. But God doesn't need a helping hand. God just needs people that believe him, trust him, pray to him, and obey him. And of course, Elijah called upon the Lord, and the fire fell. And then the people fell. And then going on, rushing on through to verse number 41, we see the prophecy. He makes a prophecy. He says to Ahab, get up, eat and drink, do what you have to do, for there is sound of abundance of rain. There's sound of abundance of rain. Now, Carmel, the fire falling from heaven, that reminds us, as we said last night, of Calvary, a sacrifice upon an altar, the fire of God falling, consuming the sacrifice. Calvary, the Lord Jesus was the sacrifice. He was upon the altar of the cross. The fire of God's wrath fell, but the sacrifice consumed the fire. And so Elijah has proved to the people who the true God is, and then he makes this prophecy and says, there's sound of abundance of rain. Now he heard that by faith. He heard it by faith. Because it says in verse number 43 that a servant says, there is nothing. And sometimes that's how we feel, isn't it? God maybe gives us a word. As he gave a word here to Elijah, there's sound of abundance of rain. And he heard it not, I believe, with the external ear, but with the ear of faith. And whenever he sent the servant to go and to look for the rain, the servant says, there is nothing. You ever feel like that? God gives you a promise. You get all excited about it. You're filled with joy. That's God speaking to me. There's a promise that I can stand upon. There's a promise that I can claim. I've prayed. I've sought the Lord. And you just expect immediately to get a phone call from a loved one to say that they've come to the Lord or to see some great thing happen. And whenever you rush out to see what has happened and to see where the rain is, nothing. That's often how we can feel as God's people. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Elijah heard the sound of abundance of rain with the ear of faith, but with the natural and naked eye, they could see nothing to indicate that rain was coming. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. So you have the prelude to this sound of abundance of rain, the propitiation, the prophecy, lastly, the perseverance. He said to his servant, verse 43, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And then Elijah says to him, go again 7 times. Now Elijah's not sitting back here idle whenever this servant is going up. It says in verse 42 that he's cast himself upon the earth and has put his face between his knees. He's in the posture of prayer. He's kneeling before the Lord. He's got this promise. He's heard it with the ear of faith, but he's still praying. E.M. Bounds says that prayer is the hand that plucks the golden fruit of God's promises. And he's praying. He's got his face between his knees here, and the servant goes up. They're at the top of Mount Carmel, and the servant is going up 7 times, again and again and again. He goes the first time, nothing. He goes the second time, nothing. He goes the third time, nothing. Fourth, fifth, sixth time, nothing. Every single time he goes, and still he comes back, and Elijah says, we'll go again. And this is speaking here, surely, of perseverance. It speaks of effort because each time he had to go up. And I'm sure each time he went up, he was more tired and he was getting weary. And his feet maybe were getting heavy. And his lungs maybe were ready to burst. And the air gets thinner. and his blood pressure's rising, and he's getting tired, and he's getting weary. And sometimes in the place of prayer, as we ascend the hill of God, we can get tired, we can get weary, and we go again, and we go again, and we go again. And it seems that so often, whenever we go, there's nothing. But then at last, in verse 44, it came to pass at the seventh time that he says, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." A few weeks ago in our prayer meeting, we spoke about the Lord driving out the enemies of the Israelites as they went into the promised land, little by little. And here we see the same principle again. He goes up and he looks out, and he's just perhaps about to say, "I see nothing," whenever he sees this little cloud the size of a man's hand, an aqua blue sky. And it's been like that for years in Israel. And it's been like that, maybe you think, for years in our land, and maybe even for years in this church and years in this denomination. And it seems that the blessing is gone. But as he looks and surveys and perseveres and prays, a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, we're living in days of famine, but I'm still looking for the little things. Because little things give rise to great things. Little seeds give birth to great trees. Little prayers offered in faith can give rise to great answers. The New Testament church started with just a handful, just a few. It was little. And here we see, as Joseph's branches went over the wall of the well and went out, we see the church doing the same right across the globe tonight. And here we have the outcome in verse 45, that soon the sky was black with clouds. So take encouragement tonight, the sound of a spiritual awakening. That's what we've been considering this evening. This great awakening, sound of abundance of rain. Now let's seek the Lord and make the most of our time this evening. We thank you for coming. It's good to see the numbers holding up well.